A couple of years ago, I was singing in a production of The Messiah with the Bremerton Symphony Orchestra and the Bremerton Chorale. And I got a chance to meet Tess Altaveras. She was the soprano who was singing the solos for The Messiah that night. A beautiful singer. I think she's part Filipino, and she's going on to bigger things. I heard a radio interview this week where they were interviewing Tess, because she's the lead in a production of the Seattle Opera that's going on this week. The opera is called The Rising and the Falling. This opera was written by Staff Sergeant Benjamin Hilgert, who is a member of the U.S. Army Chorus, and is taken from his interviews that he did in Walter Reed Army Hospital and some other military hospitals of recovering soldiers who've come back with wounds from the battlefield. And what he wanted to do was create an opera that would help connect soldiers and civilians. So he worked with a librettist and a composer, and together they came up with this opera. It has five soloists and a chorus. And the chorus is made up of all veterans, not opera singers, but ordinary people that they trained and helped learn how to sing for this opera. The opera is being performed all over the country, but it's in Seattle this week and next. In the interview that I heard on the radio, Tess Altaveras said how much being in the production helped her realize the sacrifice that soldiers make and helped her connect better with their experience. The story in the opera is a dreamscape of a woman soldier that Tess plays while she's in a coma after being hit in a roadside bomb attack. It begins with the soldier. The soldier doesn't have a name, she's just called Soldier, and she's on the stage alone by herself with her laptop. And she's singing into the laptop, she's making a video recording for her daughter, whose birthday, 13th birthday it is that day. And she sings into the laptop, she says, I know it's 2 a.m. where you are and you're fast asleep, and I know I promised you that today I would Skype with you at your birthday party, but we have to go on a mission, and so duty calls and I can't be there, and that's why I'm making this video for you. And a picture of the baby comes up on the screen, and she sings to the laptop. She says, I remember when you were a baby, when you were just born, and your tiny little chest, how it was rising and falling, falling and rising. And I said to you, baby girl, I know that you're going to rise and fall and rise. It was you and me alone back then against the world, and we're still together, and I'll see you soon. And she closes her laptop. And then across the screens on the back come images from the explosion. You see debris flying across the screens and images of the desert and evacuation helicopter coming in and the soldiers scurrying to take out the wounded. And the next scene you see her, she's in a hospital bed. And the doctors are there kind of gathered around the back. They're sort of shadowy figures. You can't exactly see them. They're speaking and they say, there's been extreme trauma to the brain. The prognosis is unclear. And the soldier, she scrambles up and she stands up in the back of the bed, but nobody seems to notice. It's sort of like she's outside her body looking down on the scene that's happening there. And the images of the blast come back to her at that moment, the pain and the heat and the smoke and the screams. And the doctors are saying, we should notify the next of kin. We'll stabilize her. We'll put her in a medical induced coma to help her heal. So the opera continues on through the weeks of the coma. And in the first week of the coma, she sees another woman soldier named Toledo. And Toledo is speaking to her psychiatrist. She says, I was raised in a family with four older brothers, and they taught me how to be tough. You know, I don't have to be here talking to you. What happened was our Humvee was blown up, and four of my fellow soldiers were killed in the blast, and I alone lived. But I'm going to make it, because the Army has my back. In the second week of the coma, an Army Ranger comes to her. She sees this Army Ranger, and the Army Ranger teaches her how to jump out of an airplane with a parachute. Teaches her how to pack a parachute, and he describes what it's like jumping into the void and then hearing all the wind whistling and the pop of the parachute and the 12 seconds of silence that you have before you hit the ground and the thud. And he says, come on, we're going to pack your parachute. And they get on the bed together, and they're standing there, and the bed starts to rise, and smoke comes out around it like there's clouds underneath it, like it was a plane. You rise and fall. You fall and rise. And in week three of the coma, she sees a young black Army colonel who has recently lost his wife, and he's speaking to her. He's singing to her. He says, how could you leave me alone to sort through all these endless days, this haze of time undone? I miss you more than I can say. And he gets out two glasses of wine and puts them on a table and lights candles. And he tells her about how their kids are doing, how they've grown and they've got girlfriends and spouses of their own and their careers. And he says, I know I'll never have you back again, but I have the strength to go on. And in the next week of the coma, he sees a soldier in a wheelchair. He's been crippled in battlefield accident in the battlefield. And he's going into a Baptist church. And he gets wheeled up to the front, and he speaks to the people, and he says, it wasn't my idea to come here. It was my mother and the pastor who talked me into it. The pastor said, just tell your story and your faith will naturally come out. And he said, when I was a kid, I was in this church, and I played the donkey in the Christmas pageant. He said, it's been a long time since I've been here, but when I was coming back from the battlefield and I lay in the hospital bed in broken bits, there was so much crazy, stupid pain. And the drugs helped until they didn't. And then you're just left with yourself. That's all you have. You know, I get weird about God, but I believe in my family. And I think there's God in that. And then the next scene, all the characters come on stage and stand around the hospital bed with the soldier in it. And she sings to them. She says, each of you has guided me and awakened something deep inside me. I'm scared to come out and I'm scared to stay, but you've shown me the way and I'm ready. And the chorus sings, I give my life, I'll die for you. We rise and fall. We fall and rise. And the next scene, she's in the hospital. She's in a robe. She's walking with crutches towards her 14-year-old daughter, who's coming towards her, and they embrace. And the chorus sings, Alive. And that's the end of the opera. Fantastic opera, really telling the stories from the perspectives of the soldiers and helping them to connect with the audience to see what it's like. Well, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is talking about difficult times. He's trying to prepare the disciples for what's going to happen after Jesus is gone, after he's been crucified and raised and gone into heaven. And he tells them about the temple. They're in the temple, and he says, "You see this temple and all these beautiful stones? I tell you, not one will be left on another. All will be thrown down. In the days to come, there will be wars and insurrections. Nation will rise up against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. You will be arrested and persecuted and brought before kings and governors, which will give you a chance, an opportunity to testify. Don't worry about what you're to say, because I will give you words and a wisdom that no one can contradict." So what Jesus is doing in this passage is he's preparing the disciples for the difficult times that are going to come. Now, by the time that Luke wrote this down in the Gospel of Luke, 30 or 40 years later, after Jesus said them, these things had actually come to pass. The Roman army had come in and destroyed Jerusalem and thrown down the temple and demolished it. And Christians had been taken away and arrested and persecuted, and they had shown witness. And what is remarkable is that the Christian faith was not destroyed, but it became stronger, and more people were attracted to the message because they saw the strength and the faith of the Christian believers who were able to tell about Jesus and give their witness and testimony. Well, at one time or another in our life, we will all face difficulties. We don't know what it is or what it will be, but all of us, at one time or another, will have some hard times. And Jesus is telling us that God is going to send us help when we are having hard times. God will give us companions to support us. God will give us an inner strength that comes from inside, like the soldier in the opera got strength from inside. And God will never abandon us. Jesus says, "Not a hair of your head will perish, but by your endurance you will gain your souls." You know, endurance means suffering. It means patience. And it means giving ourselves up to God. All that is involved in endurance. And Jesus says, by our endurance, we will gain our souls. We will get through it, and we will be rescued. So we know that whatever we face, whatever is ahead, God is with us and will give us the strength that we need. Hymn 635 says this: "If thou but trust in God to guide thee, and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength, whate'er betide thee, and see thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love, builds on a rock that naught can move." Amen.